We're going to read two different sections here from Matthew 13. If you've been joining us, or you've just kind of joined in over the last few weeks, we've been thinking in these chapters of Matthew about different reactions to the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we thought about, with the young people, the parable of the soils. And in the middle of the parable of the soils, and verse 10, the Lord Jesus kind of splits up that parable between how he tells it and how he explains it. But right in the middle, he says this, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Then to verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches.' He told them still another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough.' Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.' Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A brief prayer. Please keep your Bible open, Matthew 13. Our Father in heaven, we want to see, we want to hear, we want to understand. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very easy to be full of doom and gloom in our country at the moment about what the Lord Jesus is doing. Even in our area, feels like we're hardly scratching the surface. Lots of churches around the country being turned into carpet warehouses, blocks of flats. On TV a month ago, I don't know if you saw it, there was a program on the BBC called Is the Church Racist? And of course, like, the answer is, well, of course it is. That was the thing that sort of came out of it. There are frequent scandals about church leaders. It feels like churches like ours aren't making many inroads into people's lives. One of our teenagers a few weeks ago said that for her mates, like, none of them think that Christianity has any relevance for their lives at all. For me personally, I find it hard, like you, to turn those conversations that we have into speaking about the Lord Jesus and the hope that we have. Honestly, some days as your pastor, like on Friday morning when I got up, I thought, what am I doing? I'll just go drive a bus. At least I'd be helping people get to work. I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus gives more grace when it's easy to feel like that. And he brought to mind a book. Well, I say he brought to mind, it was sitting on my desk staring me in the face. And it's my favorite Christian book, other than the Bible. Okay, we'll take that as read. But it's called And the Word Came with Power. And I just started flicking through it again. It's about a lady who went to a remote part of the Philippines to translate the Bible into a local language. They didn't have the Bible in that local language. Dangerous area. I'm told she was a very shy, reserved kind of lady. For months, very little happened. But a local chief adopted her like as his daughter so that she wouldn't come to any harm. And the chief's son started to take an interest in the stuff that this lady was talking about a God who loved her. And over time, we're talking months and years here, he became a Christian. And he became one of the biggest influences on having that the Bible translated into that language. The young man longed for his people to become Christians. And he spent lots of time walking around the remotest parts of the Philippines, through the jungle, into villages, remote tribes, that kind of stuff, telling people about the Lord Jesus. And because of a couple of people doing that, just two or three, things started to happen. Churches were planted. People became Christians in that part of the Philippines. And thousands of people now are believers because of the praying and going of that lady. Why do I find this story so powerful? Because it never fails to remind me that no matter how weary I might be, no matter how weak our efforts might seem, how frail, how many times we try to have a conversation and kind of, instead of, we want to talk about Jesus, just verbal diarrhea comes out. And I know you've been there, that the Lord Jesus is doing amazing things through ordinary people like us that causes his kingdom to grow. And I think one of the important lessons as we look at these parables over the next few weeks is that our eyes and our feelings actually can be quite deceiving. And what we think of as weak and small is not how the Lord Jesus looks at things. And he gives more grace. And so he's telling us these parables because he wants us to trust him and be confident that he knows what he's doing, that he's got something bigger going on than often what we see around us. Here are three things I want to say about the parables this morning. Jesus speaks in parables to reveal how we will respond to him. That's the first thing I want to say. Look at verse 10, Matthew 13. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "What, Lord Jesus, why do you speak in parables?" He says in verse 11, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Huh. Often you hear something like this. Parables are like quaint stories, like sermon illustrations that the Lord Jesus used. You know, there would have been a bunch of farmers there, so obviously he's going to talk about farming in some way. But the Lord Jesus says here that he speaks in parables so that some people will understand and some don't. Interesting. Look at verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. What is this knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven? I mean, who does he give that to? His people. He gives it to those who trust and believe in him. Who don't have that knowledge? Those who don't trust in him. And it makes you think, well, what are the secrets of the kingdom of heaven? The things that Jesus is talking about. The things that he's been teaching us down through these weeks. That he is God himself come down from heaven. That he has come to fix the brokenness of our world and the brokenness of our lives. He's come to fix our personal relationship with God through his death on the cross. He's come to make known how you and I can be saved from our sins. How, like we sang, the chains can come off. He's come to make known how we can live lives that are pleasing to God. He's come to make known how we prepare for judgment and the life to come. And as Jesus preaches in parables, yes, there may be an interesting illustration about farming or gardening or whatever it is. But actually what the parables reveal is our heart attitude to the Lord Jesus. How we respond to him. You see, you can comprehend. You can understand that, like the little kids did last week, that the four soils in the parable of the sower are about how we respond to the Lord Jesus. But unless we do what Jesus says, we're actually, well, we see, but we don't really see. We hear, but we don't really hear. We understand, but we don't really understand. Because unless we learn the spiritual lessons of the parable, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are not revealed to us. If we're not producing a crop like that fourth soil, if we've not been changed, we're not really listening. And the danger is that our hearts are hard. And Matthew here drops in verse 14, a quote from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. Back in Isaiah's day, God called Isaiah to come and be one of his prophets. It's a stunning vision in Isaiah 6. And I suspect what Isaiah wanted to hear was, you know, my people have turned away from me. Isaiah, you're going to be my prophet. And when you preach, everyone is going to turn back to God in droves. But this is what he's told. You'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal him. God says that for some people, the more that Isaiah preaches God's message, turn back to God, the more their hearts will be hardened. And when people hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus in his day, what do you see? A similar reaction, don't you? Some people's hearts are hardened. When we try and share the Lord Jesus with people, what reaction do we see sometimes? Hey, we've got a message of good news and life, and people are like, oh, stuff that. I take some comfort from the fact that people could hear the preaching of Isaiah in his day and fall asleep. And people could hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus in his day and fall asleep. It's not just me. Because it's about our hearts, about how we respond to the Lord Jesus. Think about it. If the Lord Jesus truly didn't want us to know stuff, he just wouldn't have said it at all, would he? He would have just kept his mouth shut. But as he speaks, there's a response from us. So what is the right response? Well, verse 10, what do the disciples do? They come and ask the Lord Jesus. They come and ask. A friend of mine describes the parables a bit like this. Think of a set of automatic doors at a shop, okay? For you to get into the shop, bit of audience participation here, okay? For you to walk into the shop, what have you got to do? Walk towards the doors. Yeah, yeah. Dead easy. There's no tricks here, okay? All right, for you to... Okay, great. If you listen to the preaching of the parables of the Lord Jesus and think, what a load of guff, the doors stay shut. We'll miss what the Lord Jesus wants us to understand. We'll walk on by. We'll never understand the great danger that we're in, that our sin puts us in. But as we walk towards the parables, as we walk towards the Lord Jesus, as we come and ask, guess what happens to the doors? They open, yeah, great. I think that's what the Lord Jesus is telling us here. As we come and say, Lord Jesus, wow, some of these parables, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know. But I need your help to understand. And he loves to give us spiritual eyes so that we see and hear and understand, that our lives would be changed. That we get the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That we get to know that how important his cross and resurrection is for our lives. And we'll see that on the days when we feel low, when we feel that nothing's happening, when we feel that our outreach is weak and ineffective, that the Lord Jesus is actually doing lots. So we've got to come and ask. I take great comfort from verse 17. For he says, truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. That's us. These mysteries, these things that Jesus is revealing, lots of people long to hear about it and know about it and understand. But as we come with faith in the Lord Jesus, the door's open. So come and ask. Let's move on to the parable of the weeds. Because here, Jesus speaks in parables to reveal to us what life is like as one of his followers. I think this parable of the weeds is telling us lots about what life is going to be like as a Christian in the world that we live in. Follow along with me from kind of verse 24. The Lord Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Man sowed seed. While everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. Everything sprouts up. And his servants come and ask, shall we pull up the weeds? The master says, no, in verse 29, because you could pull up the weeds and the wheat together. You could ruin the whole thing. We'll wait till harvest time and we'll sort it out. Turn over then to verse 36. Then the Lord Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples, what do? They come and ask. Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And Jesus says in verse 37, well, he's the one who's sowing a field. The field is the world. The wheat is his people. And the weeds are sown by the devil. And the weeds are the people of the devil. The harvest time is when the Lord Jesus is going to return to judge everyone. The weeds are going to be punished and thrown into hell, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be great sorrow. The righteous, we're told, are gathered to the heavenly barn, and they will shine like the sun forever. What are we being told as followers of the Lord Jesus? that the Lord Jesus is planting a field in our world. His message is going out across the world, and people are responding to it like wheat planted in a field. But at the same time, followers of the Lord Jesus find themselves in a real spiritual battle. We have an enemy, the devil. Yes, I believe the devil is real. The Lord Jesus believes the devil is real. I don't think he's some scary Halloween character meant to scare kids. I believe he is real. And he's doing his best to stop the spread of the gospel in our world. We have an enemy who wants us to think that what we're doing is pointless, that when we speak about Jesus, it is weak, it's ineffective, it doesn't work, it doesn't change anyone's lives. He wants us to feel guilt about our sin. Now, this bit's uncomfortable because we're told that the weeds are the people of the devil. Now, that may be uncomfortable, but it's describing a range of reactions to the Lord Jesus. Weeds are those who are not just actively opposing the Lord Jesus, but it describes a range of people who just don't care about the Lord Jesus and everything in between. Everyone who rejects the Lord Jesus. But the wheat and the weeds are grown at the same time. Remember what I said? This is describing what life is like as a follower of Jesus. Along with Christians being in the world, there's going to be a lot of weeds growing at the same time. We shouldn't expect an easy life. Sin is hard. It's real. Spiritual opposition is true, the Lord Jesus is saying. And there's going to be people who mock the Lord Jesus, who mock his cross and resurrection, who want nothing to do with us, who as we try and graciously speak to them more and more, well, their hearts will get harder and harder and harder. The church is going to be persecuted. There'll be many down days. But the Lord Jesus says, remember this. There is going to be a harvest. There's going to be a harvest. The evil one will not win. He's not the equal opposite of the Lord Jesus. There will be a day of weeding when everything that causes sin will be burned up. And though it's uncomfortable for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus, it will be a day of massive regret. A day the Lord Jesus describes as weeping and gnashing of teeth. At the harvest time, there will be a separation. And those who have never trusted the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins will be punished in hell forever. That's what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. And I think the warning that he's giving is, don't wait until it's too late. Don't be a weed. Become a stalk of wheat by trusting in Jesus. Believe that he died for your sins. It's the only way to be safe. It's the only way to be ready. For believers in Jesus, it'll be a day of great rejoicing. Look at verse 43, how we described. We're described as the righteous who will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We're only righteous because the Lord Jesus has made us righteous. He's given us his righteousness as we trust in him. At the cross, it was transferred to us, and our faces will shine like the sun because I think we're going to reflect the beauty and holiness and glory of God. Evil will be destroyed. Our hearts will be cleansed. At our table, as we were discussing the passage on Tuesday night at a Bible study, we thought, it's so hard to try and imagine a day to wake up and only have pure thoughts. When you bang your head on the cupboard door and you'll never be tempted to swear. A day when no sour thought will enter your head. When no insult will come into your mouth. When no sickness will enter your body, to be completely free and just to have your face shine like the sun. That's what's coming. So what are we to do now? Patiently endure. patiently endure. That's a cracking ringtone, isn't it? We can live and exist just now. We can grow as wheat while the weeds are growing, because it won't always be like this. And I need to remind myself of that every day, but especially on the low days when I want to go drive a bus or do something else or think, should we just close the doors and walk away? No. Because the Lord Jesus is doing something far bigger and far greater than my eyes can see. The Lord Jesus is telling us that there'll be a day where we'll see it was worth following him. That the troubles we faced in this life will just be a thing of the past. A day when tears will be wiped away forever. Last thing is this. Jesus speaks in parables to give strength to our faith. I don't know if you noticed as we read, but right in the middle of this parable of the wheat and the weeds, Jesus told another two parables about the mustard seed and about the yeast. It's back there in verses 31 and 33. While this field is growing, while the world is got wheat and weeds growing at the same time, the Lord Jesus tells these two parables about things that are small but have a massive impact. A mustard seed. Tiny little mustard seed. When I came in this morning, this pot was full. And I just stood here and threw handfuls of mustard seeds out into the room. Did anyone notice it as they walked in? No. No. There's hundreds of them on the floor, on your chairs, on the windowsills. Nigel just found one. No one noticed it, did they? That's the point. That the Lord Jesus is, while we think nothing's going on and a mustard seed, we can't even see it, and we never even, you know, we may even be sitting on it. The Lord Jesus, his kingdom starts off small and tiny and grows, and all the birds of the air are going to come and perch in the branches. If it wasn't for the Great British Bake Off, I wouldn't have understood the big impact that yeast has, doesn't it? Or even a tiny amount of yeast and a big bit of flour, and you'll poof. It grows. Back in 1926, nearly 100 years ago, someone called James Francis wrote an essay on Jesus. It's become quite famous down the years. You might have heard bits of it before. It says, Jesus never wrote a book, never held political office, never went to university, never traveled more than 200 miles from his hometown. When he was 33, one of his best friends betrayed him, one denied him, the others ran away. Having been nailed to a cross, his executioners gambled for his clothing, which was the only property he owned. Even his grave was borrowed. 19 centuries have come and gone. And who's the central figure in the human race? Jesus. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, tiny, weak. That's how it looks. But it grows massive. And all the birds of the air come and perch in it. So what are we supposed to do? Be confident in what the Lord Jesus is doing today. Verse 32 says, though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. What do you think it means that the birds come and perch in its branches? I'll tell you, it means that for the last 2,000 years, people from every place on this planet have been becoming part of that great kingdom of the Lord Jesus by trusting in him. And one day when we get to heaven, we'll join a crowd that no one can count. from all tribes and nations and tongues and languages, who will praise the Lord Jesus forever. So we can be confident now, especially on the low days, when we think, is anything happening in this area? Yes. Yes. Isn't it great that the Lord Jesus speaks in parables? He gives us eyes to see a bit bigger than what we see and what we feel. How are we going to respond this morning? Are we going to listen? Are we going to see and understand and do? Or is this part, are these parables just revealed the hardness of our hearts? Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, thank you that the Lord Jesus speaks in parables to us. Thank you that so often he's doing things that we don't see, or we don't hear, or we don't understand. And we get so wrapped up in what is right in front of our face that we miss some of these big picture things. Thank you that he reveals to us the mysteries of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Would we have great faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus today? And we ask this in his name. Amen.